That little boy has some word working in his life. There's a right way and a right way to pray. How many have accepted the October challenge I talked about last week? Well, for those of you who haven't yet, you can still get in on it. We are setting aside the month of October. We're consecrating this season, this month, to draw near to God. I want to begin with a question this morning. The question is, what do you want God to do for you this month? This month. Because God has a plan for your life for this month. The theme scripture we are using this month is, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. You'll find it in James chapter 4 and verse 8. Draw near to God this month, and He will draw near to you. That's what we're doing. Now, I believe this principle will work any month, of course, any day, any year, all of our lives. But in my experience, I've always just set aside the month of October to be especially still and quiet and to make myself most available to hear God say some fresh things. It began many years ago in an October. It was an October surprise for me. I didn't pray for it, fast for it, believe for it, ask for it. I didn't do anything to deserve it, of course, but God gave me an experience in an October, and it lasted a month. And so ever since that year, many years ago, when the calendar says October is here again, I just instinctively expect God to draw near to me as I draw near to Him. So I issued that challenge to all of you last week to join me on a spiritual journey this month of October. It was the October challenge. I asked you last week to all month long begin each day with Bible study and prayer and to ask God only for intimacy with Him and for wisdom. And I gave you the instruction to keep an October journal. Write down what you hear God say. Write down the impressions He gives you. You cannot improve what you do not measure. So write it down and keep a journal and do it with such great faith that you'll be like I was many years ago. I still have a file. I call it my October file. And I refer to that file frequently, and I will for the rest of my life, because it's filled with things I heard God say that changed my life. So the reason you need to keep a journal this month as you draw near to God is because He will draw near to you and say some things you've never heard Him say before. And if you have them in a journal, you will refer back to it for the rest of your life. That's how special this month is. Now today I pick up and we move forward for just a few minutes. And then at the end of our service, here's what's happening today. The men and women who serve on our prayer team are going to find themselves in place here and offer prayer to any of you who have a need. And especially for those of you who can say, here's what I need from God this month. Here's what October's all about for me. The most critical need in my life this month is this. And we're going to offer prayer for everybody. How you like that? I'm telling you, we have a great time, great praise and worship. I just love the fact that as soon as service begins and the music starts, immediate praise fills the house. And then the Word of God is always good. No matter who brings it, it's not based on the messenger. It's the message. It's God's Word. But then, having said all that, sometimes the greatest things that happen here at Abundant Life on a Sunday morning happen after we dismiss here at the altar with the prayer ministry team. That could be your story today. You'll have prayer offered. Here's the verse of the Lord today. It's found in Luke chapter 4 and verse 4. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now, I want you to realize here there is a duality of truth. First of all, the Lord Jesus is recognizing the fact that we need physical food for our bodies. We have to eat to keep our body healthy. We have natural food that we can enjoy, and it nourishes our body, and our physical human bodies are strengthened by natural food. Jesus did not deny that fact. We simply have to eat in order to live. But then, parallel in truth, and equally true, and perhaps in October, more so, is how important it is that our spirit is dependent on spiritual food, and Jesus called it a daily bread. It goes back to the Old Testament. The Israelites were fed manna. It was enough food to keep them alive for one day. And God provided it every day for 40 years. It was just enough for that day. In fact, you couldn't hold it too long. It would spoil. I think on Saturdays he gave a two-day supply so they wouldn't have to collect it on Sunday. But for 40 years, God gave his children every day just enough food to keep them alive that day. And they got into the rhythm of trusting God on a daily basis. They would wake up in the morning, and before they opened their eyes to see the manna on the fields outside of their tent, they were aware, today would be the day I starve, except for the goodness of God. But I know before I open my eyes, he's got enough to keep me alive today, prepared already for me to enjoy. And then they would go outside and get just enough bread for that day. And so it is with our spiritual food. God provides spiritual meat to nourish our spirit man. And he has it for us every day. Not just an hour one day a week when we get together like this, and how wonderful it is that we do. But every single day before you open your eyes, you should be aware, God has food for my spirit man that's going to strengthen my spirit today. He always does. He does it every day, and today is no exception. Now, in the natural, there's a phrase that goes around, and I can relate to this phrase because I am so guilty of it. Mindless eating. That is funny, isn't it? But many times, I'm bad to do it late at night, and I'm sucking in right now so you can't see that I'm in my second trimester because of this problem of mindless eating. I really don't get hungry. I don't fight hunger pains all day. I can drink some coffee, and I've got my anointing, and I can go a good ways through the day without really getting hungry, and I'll eat at some point, but I don't know what it's like to be hungry, really. I mean, I don't know when was the last time I was really hungry. But my problem is late at night after I've gone to bed, I have a tendency to get back up. Now, I'm not hungry, but I'll binge eat on some stuff, and I divide it into two categories. You know, I know I've got Coke in the fridge, and I know I've got milk, and so I have to make this critical decision. Now, do I want Coke and what goes with that, which would be like certain crackers, cheese and salsa and chips. You know, some things go really well with Coke. Or do I want milk and things that go with that, like chocolates and peanut butter cookies and cereal, you know. and I'm not hungry, but I eat. It doesn't nourish my body. I don't even think about what I eat. Usually, it's mindless eating. It does not strengthen my physical body. I'm paying a price for it. Mindless eating. And that's what we do with our spirit. We pour into our spirit things we don't even consider. It does not nourish our spirit, give us any spiritual strength or nutrition at all. And today's culture is worse than any before it. We are so distracted by the internet. And I know I'll get my iPad and sit down sometimes and just allow my spirit to be bombarded with... I can't think of any other website to check out. Let me see about TMZ and what celebrity scandals are going on today. You know what that is? You do. Well, I'm sitting here with that. I can go to any website in the world, and I can't think of anyone except for TMZ right now. And if you're not careful, you know, there's USA Today. I check them out a time or two a day just to see what the breaking news is. But none of that feeding my spirit. Just like we mindless eat and it does damage to our physical health, we do the same thing to our spirit through our eye gate, through our ear gate. What we see, what we hear, what we dwell on, we'll just allow anything to be put in to our spirit without even filtering it for quality, and asking ourselves, will this really strengthen my spirit or not? Will this draw me closer to God or not? And that's why during the month of October, join me. Not too late. Join me. Find a solitary place. Get off the grid for a while, every day. And shut out every voice but God's for a part of every day. It was important that Jesus find a solitary place. He withdrew from the crowd, and then he even separated himself with some distance from his own disciples. And the Bible says he would spend all night in prayer in a solitary place. No distractions, no voice, but the Father's. And we need that this month. So I'm extending the challenge for October. I'm excited about it. I really have an expectancy about this month and what God's going to do for me. And I hope you share that. But I'm offering this challenge to you every day. Feed your spirit first, then the body. Do it. Feed your spirit first. Now, I know your routine in life, maybe you hit the ground running and you don't have a minute to spare, and that's the way you do life every day. Change it for a season. Get up a little bit early, at least enough to consciously feed your spirit man first before you feed your body. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things you worked so hard for will be added to you." There was always a crowd following Jesus, and I've mentioned this before because I'll never be able to get over it. It's just a beautiful parallel that can locate you with regard to your proximity to God. When Jesus walked the earth 2,000 years ago, crowds followed him everywhere. And every kind of person you could think of was in the crowd. But all of them were attracted to Jesus. There was always a crowd following Jesus. I've shared this with you before, but again this month, ask yourself this question: where are you in the crowd? Now, multitudes everywhere, and they all benefited. Everybody in the crowd was fed. Everybody in the crowd saw miracles, heard truth when he spoke the word, Everybody in the crowd was glad to be there. Crowds ranged 5,000 and more on occasion. If there was a crowd of 5,000 people and Jesus in the middle of that crowd, where are you in the crowd? For many, being one in the crowd was good enough. They got fed, they were entertained, they saw the miraculous, which in their twisted mind could have been nothing more than the sensational, and that got them all excited. They were in the crowd, just one in the crowd. But out of the 5,000, there were 70 that heard him speak purpose to them. He said, I'm sending you. And he gave instruction to them. Don't go by yourself. Go in pairs. Go in twos. And go and accomplish a purpose and come back to me. That was 70. They were a little bit closer to the Lord. And then out of the 70, there was the number 12. These were people Jesus chose that they might be with him. He did not choose them that they might do for him, which they did. But his purpose in choosing those 12 out of the crowd was that they might be with him. Now, this month of October, at least be one of the 12. Be with Jesus this month. But out of the 12, there were three that said, even that's not close enough for me. I want to be closer than the 5,000. I want to be closer than the 70. I want to be closer than the 12. And there were three, Peter, James, and John, that were the inner circle. And of the three, there was one, John the Beloved, who said, I want to be close enough to hear his heartbeat when I lay my ear on his chest. John the Beloved. So where are you in the crowd? This is your time to go from the outer fringe to the inner circle. Do it this month. You can do it. It's a matter of a decision, and it's a quality decision. No devil in hell can stop any one of you if you decide this month, I'm drawing one step closer to God than I've ever been. No devil can stop that. There's no devil that's been assigned to you from hell that can stop you from leaving the outer fringes of the crowd. Oh yeah, you have an attraction to Jesus. You know about him. You've seen some stuff. You've heard him say some things. No devil can stop you from going from the periphery right into the inner circle this month. And I challenge you to make that decision right now. And you see, what God is doing this month for me and for you is not exclusively determined by what happens in here on Sunday morning. Not this month. If you're coming for a quick fix and you're wanting enough spiritual gasoline to last you 7 full days until you drag back in here depleted next Sunday for another refilling, pitiful, especially this month. The most important spiritual experiences any of us will have this month is what happens after we leave here and how responsible we are for our own step, one step closer to God this month. No devil can stop you from doing that if you decide you're going to do it. Now, most of the crowd, that 5,000 group plus, they drew near Jesus, but only when he was passing through their village. And even then, only for a couple of hours maybe, as he moved on. Some of the crowd was able to follow him from here to there. But if you're simply satisfied to be one of the crowd, you will bump into him briefly, and it will be public, not private. And you need more than that. There is more available than that. Others, not the 5,000, but the 12 certainly and the 3, they had special access to Jesus and special insights from his teachings. and they had inside information. They were extraordinarily intimate with Jesus. Now, you're not going to get that in the crowd of 5,000. You'll get food. You'll get some teaching. You'll be near him for an hour or two. If that's for me, I'm busy. But now, depending on who it is, I may take it. Here's the way it was with the crowd. Jesus teaching. Everybody heard. But they didn't understand. Not everybody understood. Not everybody who gets together on Sunday morning understands clearly the word of the Lord. They hear it, but they may not understand it. And here's how Jesus handled that. 5,000 would be there. He would teach. They'd all hear the same thing. But not all would understand. And so after the crowds would leave, the 12 had special access to him. And he would sit them down. Why? Because they weren't happy just to be in the crowd. They wanted to be closer. So he would sit them down and expound on his teachings. The Bible says in Mark 4:34, when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. Not to the public crowds, but to the private few who were close enough to him, special access to him, were alone with him. We're not alone with him in here today. When you get in your car and leave here, you'll be alone with him. When you get to your house this afternoon, you'll be alone with him. That's when you qualify for special insight because of your special access. And when you are alone with him, he will explain all things to you. I'm going to give you just a few points quickly. One is every believer has access to God. Every believer. It's not like in the day when Jesus walked the earth and all of the Spirit of God was in his body at one time, in his human body. All of the anointing on earth was in his body at one time until he began to distribute it and apostolically transfer part of his anointing to others and send them out with mission and purpose. It's not like that now. He is with the Father, seated at the Father's right hand, and taking his place in the earth is the Holy Spirit who dwells in me and in you. So every believer now has special access to God. You're not left out. In fact, we are told to come boldly into his presence. Don't sit this month out on the sidelines. Get in the game. Then I want to tell you this. Our daily bread gives us instruction. Get it before you feed your body. Feed your spirit first. Daily bread. Every day this month, feed your spirit first. And as you do, you'll receive instruction for your day and for the rest of your life. The scripture, there's Proverbs 4:1. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father. You may need instruction today. I certainly do. And there's no better place to get it than from God's word. Then our daily bread, get in the word every day, gives us direction. You'll find that in Psalm 119, verse 105, and then many other places throughout scripture. But getting along with God every day, getting in his word every day, feeding your spirit, the word of God, before you feed your body grits and eggs or cereal for breakfast. Get your priorities right this month. Feed the Spirit first. And as we get into God's Word every day, early in the day, we'll get directions. So many distractions, so many different directions to take. We may not know which one is right for us, but we will if we get into God's Word. Psalm 119:105 says, your Word is a lamp unto my feet. You don't know where to put your next footstep down? God's Word will tell you, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So getting with God every day, in his word every day, gives us direction for our life. Then, our daily bread gives us victory over sin. You don't hear a lot of people preaching against sin anymore. I don't do a lot of it myself for a couple reasons. One is, you already know. Well, even in the Old Testament, the Bible said God writes it on our hearts. You already know. Secondly, it's not as effective as it used to be in previous generations to take Sunday morning time and preach against sin, because the weakest spiritual person in the crowd sees it as judgment. But I will say this about sin. Same thing, it was either Calvin Coolidge or Herbert Hoover. Who were alive back then when those boys were? Travis, were you alive back then? No, not quite. Okay. One of them was famous for this. He didn't say much. He would answer every question with two or three words. He was known for his brief answers. And he went to church one Sunday, and when he got back to the White House, one of his aides asked him, how was church? It was good. What did the preacher preach on? Preached about sin. Well, what did he say about it? He was against it. So if you're struggling in any area of your life, now don't get me wrong, grace is so good. We all benefit by grace. Of his grace we've all received. It's grace plus nothing. We've always known that. But some people abuse that truth and use it as an excuse not to be faithful or live in victory in certain areas of their life. This is the month to mature in some things. And our daily bread, hearing from God every day, will give us victory in areas of our life where we may not have it yet. David said in Psalm 119:11, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's still true, and it's still important. And then our daily bread enhances our physical health. I love it here because the bridges connect our natural and our spiritual. We both are responsible for our physical body and our spiritual body. And here they're joined because the Word of God can literally have an influence and an impact on our physical health. And you'll find that in Proverbs 4:22. My son, give attention to my words, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. So when you open the book, expect God to open his mouth and be aware that even as you hear God's word, all of these things are promised to you. You have special access to God. Take advantage of it this month. Let it mark your life forever. And when you read the Word of God, you will find instruction for your day and for your life. When you read the Word of God, you will find direction he has for you. When you read the Word of God, you will build up a strength over sin. When you read the Word of God, it's like medicine even for your physical health. Life to all who find God's Word, and health to all of our flesh. And I will say to you as I close, it's not too late. Some of you are thinking, well, I missed last Sunday and I've been so busy and this month is getting away from me. It's already the 12th. Hey, it's the 12th of October. It's not the 12th of never. So I'm really asking the Holy Spirit right now, one-on-one, if I were with each one of you, just the two of us in a room, and if I could walk up to every one of you individually, And lay my hand on you like this and grab your shirt and pull you just a little bit close into me and say something to you. Please let your spirit hear it just like that. I would say, oh, Get in on this in October. It's not too late. God is waiting for you to take a step. He's waiting for you to draw near to Him. And He's already predetermined what He's going to do. He said, I will draw near to you. He's going to do it right now. He's going to do it in October. It's not too late. Now, if you're keeping a journal, writing down things you're hearing God say, perhaps some teaching from His Word, some things that have given you instruction and direction. If you've heard God say something this week, I hope you've written it in your journal. I've heard Him say some things this week, including this. And I'll share this word to you if you're thinking, well, October's well underway and I've missed out on this one. The window is closed. No, not true. Here's what I heard the Lord say. Now, don't make fun of me, because the Lord has to talk to me like this. He doesn't speak to me in Elizabethan King James Version English. He talks to me in real life. I heard the Lord say this. I wrote it down for you. Don't walk off the court while there is still time on the clock. If you think it's too late to get in on this October challenge, you're wrong. There's time on the clock. Don't get out of the game. Don't sit this one out. Make a decision right where you're standing. God, I want all you have for me, and especially this month. Count on me. I'm drawing near. I'm taking one step closer. I'm leaving the fringes, and I'm going to the inner circle. I have special access granted, and this month I'm taking advantage of it. God's word to you. You can write this down too if you want to. God's word to you this month as you feast on daily bread, feed your spirit before you feed your body. This month, God's word to you is going to be personal, and it's going to be strategic for you. And I'll give you this challenge. It's a big one. I'm going to get you committed first. It's only one chapter in the Bible, just one. But if I ask you, and if you will agree and commit, and if you will commit, you can raise your hand. That's not a trick question. Will you read one chapter this week? Will you? I'm going to tell you what chapter, but will you? I mean, everybody ought to really raise your hand on it. One chapter is all. If you do nothing else this week to draw closer to God, will you read one chapter of the Bible? Let's all read the same chapter. I'll tell you which one in just a minute. Anybody going to do that with me? All right, Lord, now you saw their hands. And the Bible says that all liars will go down to the lake, and it is not sand tea. So the Lord's going to keep you honest on this. Now here it is. Read one chapter this week and grow spiritually as you do. It talks about God's word. It will tell you what David, who wrote this chapter, thinks about God's word, his daily bread. And it just happens to be, now it's doable, but it is the longest chapter in the Bible. It's Psalm 119, and it has 176 verses. But you listen to me, every verse is dripping with revelation. It will make you fall in love all over again with God's word. It will make you appreciate your daily bread. And every time David refers to the commandments, it's the word. Or thy statutes, it's the word. Or your testimonies, he's talking about the word. Every verse in that 119th Psalm is talking about God's word. And I'm telling you, we will be a different church by next week this time if every one of us devours that one chapter that talks about the benefits of knowing God's word and feeding ourselves on that kind of bread. I'm closing with a story. It's a true story. I'll never forget. I'm grateful for it. 20 years ago, I made my first trip to Russia, and I was from Russia to Latvia. And after a few days in Latvia, where our sister church now is, Abundant Life Latvia in the city Liepāja, I was flying back from Riga, Latvia to Moscow. And my translator that was assigned to me, her name was Ruta. And in English, it would be Ruth. But Ruta was a sweet believer, spirit-filled believer who had survived all of her life in communism as a Christian, an underground Christian, a woman of great faith. She was my translator seated beside me on the plane. And I had just read, like a week or two before we left, this book right here. I pulled it out of my bookshelf this morning to bring it here and show you. It was a book written by then an unknown man, basically, Rick Renner. And it was his newest book at the time called Merchandising the Anointing, Developing Discernment for These Last Days. I had just read this book. Oh, that was all right. It was a good book. I enjoyed it. Well, here I am on the flight from Riga, Latvia, back to Moscow. Ruta sitting beside me, my translator, and she looks around the plane and she says, "Oh, Carl, Rick Renner is on this plane. I have translated for him before. Would you like to meet him?" And I said, "Well, sure." And so she took me back to where Rick was seated, and I said to him, "Rick, it's a pleasure to meet you. I just read your book, Merchandising the Anointing." Well, Rick and I spent the rest of that flight together, landed in Moscow, spent the next day together. He took me on a private tour to the Kremlin Museum and showed me things. I mean, he's a photogen. Now he's Rick Renner. Now he's this great thing. I mean, he's one of the world's noted Greek scholars, and he's got a new book coming out in November, and one of them cost how much? About $60 for a book. It weighs 8 pounds. But he's just such a precious, sparkling gems. He does all that. And after getting to know the man who wrote the book, I read it again. Got so much more out of it the second time. Because when I picked it up the second time, even though I had just read it a few weeks earlier, I picked it up the second time and every word meant more to me because I knew the author. I had met the author. I had spent time with the author. I knew how the author thought. I knew how excellent he was in everything he did. And so I reread the same book I had read earlier. And what a difference it made now that I am a friend to the author. Same way you'll find your daily bread this month. It will mean more to you because you're aware you know the one who wrote it. Would you stand with me, please? Everybody stand.